would like to extend a welcome to everyone who is able to attend this morning and those who are listening online. Welcome to this morning's services, and we hope that it will be uplifting to each of us. Before we get started this morning, there are just a few announcements that we need to make. First of all, today is Fellowship Sunday, so there will be a meal following this morning service. Please plan to attend that, and the red team will be cleaning today. For Wednesday, this Wednesday, June 29th, there will be a study of 2 Samuel 6, and we will also be celebrating our June birthdays. We also have a thank you card this morning, which reads, "Dear Midway family, Herman and I want to thank you for all the prayers, cards, calls, and visits while I had my hip replacement surgery. It meant so much to us to know so many people were thinking about us. In Christian love, Kay and Herman." It's all the announcements that we have for this morning, so we'll begin service with a prayer. Father, we humbly come before you, thanking you for all that you have done for us, Father. Father, we know that we are nothing without you. Father, we pray that as we meet together today, Father, that it will be a uplifting service for us, Father, and that it will bring glory and praise to you. Father, we pray that as we enter this new week, that through the study of your word, that we will be enriched, Father, and that we will be ready and capable to take on anything that you give us on our plate for this coming week, Father, and that we will give honor to you. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
If you would please sing with me.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. Our God is an awesome God. Our God.
The scripture reading this morning will be from Psalm 61, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years, as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. For I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.
Is everyone here this morning? Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
In the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, the 4x100 relay semifinal was about to start, and the American women's team was looked upon to have great success in this race. And as it started, the first leg got to the second leg, which Allison Felix was in that place. She got the baton. She ran down the track to hand it to English Gardner, who was on the third leg. And as the baton got close to her hand, it dropped. Everybody's worst nightmare on a relay team is for that baton not to be passed, because then it's usually over. And you see them go off the track, they're upset, and then the runner, English Gardner, runs back, gets a baton, and finishes the race. And they appeal the decision, and they go back on the tape, and the runner next to Allison Felix had crossed over into her lane, her arm had bumped her, and caused her not to be able to do the relay the way she should. And so they called the team back to run the relay, their leg of the relay race again, all by themselves in lane two. The stadium is filled with people. Only the American team comes on to the track because they have to run a certain time to qualify to go to the finals. And the expression after the race of the runners was, you think about pressure, because now you can't blame it on anything else. And you got to run without other runners running against you. It's like a practice, but you have to produce a time that's like in a real race. The pressure was even greater, and you watch them run the relay. They make the qualifying time. The next night, they're coming to the final race. They are given lane one. That's the lane you don't really want to be in. You want to be in the middle where you can be affected by all the other runners. Lane one is usually not the best one to be in on a relay race, but they're given lane one. They get into the dressing room. They're getting all their stuff together, and Allison Felix sees English Gardner ruffling through her bags with frustrated expressions on her face, and she forgot her shoes. And they don't wear the same size, so she laces up. Allison Felix always had lots of extra shoes, and so she put her shoes on, laced them up tight, comes out with bigger shoes on, and they run the race, and they win the gold medal. Pressure, an overwhelming feeling when you drop that baton. And you don't know if you're going to give a, you have 30 minutes to appeal and see if you even get a second chance. Usually, there's not a lot of hope. But they kept pushing through and turned a tragedy into a triumph. They went from thinking they were out to getting the gold medal. And all of us face times in life where we're under pressure, where we're stressed, where we're overwhelmed, where things just keep on happening. The baton, the person gets in the lane, the baton drops, you get lane number one, which is not the lane you really want. Then somebody forgets their shoes. It's like one thing after another. We've all been there. We've all experienced that. If you look at the statistics, 2 in 3 adults in the U.S., 65%, say that they're dealing with huge amounts of stress. 1 in 5 say that they're overwhelmed. Another statistic says people, 75% of people are overwhelmed and don't feel like they have the ability to cope. Lots of people feel in that boat. They feel pressured. They feel adversity. They feel stress. Those feelings of being overwhelmed. We've all been there. In the Bible, we read of lots of characters in the Bible that face overwhelming obstacles. They're in overwhelming situations. They're in stressful situations. And in the Bible, we have a song for sorrow. When we're going through sorrows, when we're going through the overwhelming things of life, when we're going through difficulties in life, there's a song, Psalm 61, that gives us a song for our sorrows, a song when we're going through those pressure cooker kind of moments in life. That's what we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to discover 3 strategies to elevate your hope from Psalm 61. The message is going to be, let God lead you higher, find shelter in the right place, and be faithful to the faithful God. First of all, let God lead you higher. David says, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. So he's saying, I feel like I'm at the end of the earth. Have you ever felt like you were far, far away from God? If we look at David's life, there were many moments in his life where he was going through valleys. He was going through difficulties. We've been studying 1 and 2 Samuel on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been studying with us, repent and join us. But we've looked at David's life, and from the animals he faced as a shepherd, to Goliath he faced on the battlefield, to Saul, who for a decade chased him and he lived out in the wilderness. And then in 2 Samuel, we're not there yet, but Absalom, his son, is going to rebel and he's going to find himself again away from Jerusalem, out on the run. And nobody knows exactly what this psalm is referring to, and it's probably a good reason, because if we knew the specific circumstance, we might just apply it there. But the psalm could be applied to all those things, because we face physical times, spiritual times, emotional times, when we feel far away from where we need to be. We're overwhelmed, we're stressed, we struggle. And he says, my cry, hear my cry, O God. And the word cry, the Hebrew word there, means a ringing cry. Are you familiar with a ringing cry? I have a 5-year-old granddaughter. I now understand fully what a ringing cry is, right? It's not just expressing things in words. There's agony there. There's sorrow there. There's struggle there. There's desperation there. It's a ringing cry to God. Attend to my prayer. God has the ability to attend to any prayer. He's asking God, hear my prayer. I need your help. There's distress. There's desperation. There's a longing for God. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. No matter how far I am away, I'm going to express to God what I need, because He sees in God redemption, deliverance. His own, David's own experience, when he needed deliverance, God provided it. You go back to Psalm 18, the psalm he wrote after he had escaped from, after he was delivered from his enemies and all the things that came against him. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And he says, when I was in a bad situation, I called. And when I called, God heard. And when God heard, God came. And when God came, God rescued me. And then in verse 19 it says, He brought me up to a broad place, and He delivered me because He delighted in me. He had experienced God's deliverance, and he's looking for God's deliverance again. And he says, when my heart is overwhelmed. What overwhelms your heart? There are lots of things that happen in life that can be overwhelming. The loss of a loved one, a report from a doctor, a relationship that's on the rocks. There's a lot of things in our life that can be overwhelming to us. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What a beautiful expression. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Put me at the place where there is safety. Because David, over and over again in his life, felt overwhelmed. He always had enemies coming against him. He could make a long list of enemies. Little girl, very young, about 7 or 8 years old, was in trouble. So she was eating her dinner in the corner of the dining room, away from the rest of the family. Nobody in the family was talking to her or paying any attention to her until they heard her say this prayer. Thank you, God, for preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I mean, David had lots of enemies. Lots of enemies. But he's looking to God to put him on a higher place. What's significant about a higher place? The rock that is higher than I. It's the places God provided in deliverance. God is our rock. We look at the context of the passage and where he's going. His refuge is going to be in God, his strong tower, the shelter of his wings. The rock that is higher than I. We need to be in that place so that we can get the right perspective. Many times when we go through struggles in life, we're viewing it from the bottom and not the top. If you go to a big city and you're looking up at the skyscrapers, they seem huge. If you're standing in a valley and you're looking up at the mountains and you're supposed to go to the peak, you're looking at a great distance. But if you go up in an airplane and you look down on the skyscrapers or you look down on the mountain, what seems so big down below is now small. We have to decide when we go through these overwhelming circumstances which side we're going to view it from. Our side or God's side? David wanted to view it from God's side. He wanted to be on the rock that was higher than I. He wanted God to put him in the right place. He wanted his deliverance to come from God, and he wanted his sustenance to be in God. He wanted to rest and nest and be in God. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And sometimes when we're reading the verse, we think about the troublesome things, the loss of a loved one, health that comes and is difficult for us, those kind of things that come. But it's important for us to remember that whether it's intellectual or spiritual or physical or emotional, God leads us to the rock that is higher than us, and we can't get there on our own. We can't depend on ourselves to get there. You think about in Scripture, God wants us to depend on Him to lead us to the rock that is higher than I. You and I can't get there ourselves. Think about conversion. You can't save yourself. You have to depend on God and God's direction. Are you part of that process? Yes. And are things that you do in that process? Yes. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Sometimes we have to remember we can't be self-reliant. We have to depend on God to lead us to the rock that is higher than I. In the book of Revelation in chapter 3, we read about the church in Laodicea, the lukewarm church, where they are told, you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, so I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And what was their problem? In verse 17 it says, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that your shame that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, so that you can see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He says, what's the problem for the church at Laodicea? They're self-sufficient. They're lukewarm. They're rich. They're wretched. They're pitiful. They're poor. They're naked. He says, come to me and buy from me. You can't get to a higher place without me. Repent and do what is right. Sometimes we're too self-sufficient. We get into problems and we look for our way to solve the problem. And we look to the wrong things. People think they can smoke it, toke it, drink it, or eat it and feel better. You don't do that. The only answer is God. And that's why David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And you look at Jonah. They throw him off the ship. Blup, blup, blup. Fish comes in 3 days and three nights. He's in timeout. Look at, next time you face a troublesome time, look at Jonah chapter 2, which is his prayer. He's got seaweed wrapped around his face. He's gone to the bottom. But he looks to God's temple. He looks to God, and he has confidence that God is going to deliver him. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And he puts his trust in God, and God vomits him out on the seashore, and he goes to Nineveh, not smelling too good, and he preaches he was at the bottom. God brought him to the top. There was a song in his sorrow. And he communicated that he would sing God's praises. Look at Job. There's lots of examples in the Bible. God can bring us to the rock that is higher than I. Second point. Find shelter in the right place. We talk a lot these days about sheltering in place. It's important to shelter in the right place. If you shelter in the wrong place, that could be devastating. Many people shelter in the wrong place. They put their trust in the wrong things. God will never disappoint you. Shelter in Him. And David says, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah, which means pause and reflect. Think about the God that you have and how He delivers you. And He says, sometimes when we're running away from sin, like Paul, I forget what's behind and I press on to what's ahead, like Lot's wife, don't look back. Sometimes as Christians we look back, especially when it comes to what God has done for us, and remember how God has delivered us. For you have been a shelter for me. Has God ever let you down? Has God ever disappointed you? No. He's a shelter, a strong tower from the enemy. David felt a lot of threats come his way. When things threaten us in life, what's our response? Take up the shield of faith by which you extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Our response should be prayer. Our response should be looking in God's Word and seeking direction for our lives. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Like a bird taking its wing and protecting its children, David found shelter in God's wings. Protection. All of us seek that when the storms are coming, don't we? We want to be in the safe place. I remember one movie scene that I really like is Twister, whenever the tornado's coming and they don't know what they're going to do, and they're running through the cornfield, and they get to this little shack, and they take these leather belts and they strap them up around these big metal things so that they'll be safe in the storm. You know, I don't know where you're at in life. First base, second base, third base, but the direction you want to go is home. And there's no greater feeling than when you're running into home and you slide and you hear the umpire say, safe. He's saying, look, there's a place where you can find safety. It's home. It's in God. That's where you run. That's where you go to. God will never disappoint you. Why in the world do people don't they go to God first instead of last? I see so many people struggle with things in their life, and they find all kinds of things to medicate their pain. They find all kinds of things to listen to. Why do people Google things about their problems before they pray about their problems? I don't know. What's David doing? He's looking to God as his answer. Nowhere else. Saul went to a median. David's going to God. Where do we go when we're overwhelmed? Is the first thing you do is to go to God in prayer? We live in overwhelming times. Our world is upside down. People are raising their kids in an off-moral society. It's scary when you think about it. What should be our first response? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Find shelter in his wings, the strong tower, the shelter, the safe refuge. Go there first. Go to God first, not last. And be faithful to the faithful God. There's only one God. There's only one faithful God. Be faithful to him. After you pause and reflect about God being the right place to go to and shelter in, the person that can lead you to the rock that is higher than you, be faithful to him. He says, for you, O God, have heard my vow. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform your vows. He says, I'm going to be faithful to God. There's God's part and there's your part. He said, I'm going to keep the vows that I've made. Specifically, what are all those? We don't know. He made some vows to God, and he's going to keep those vows. He's going to honor God in his life. Are you being faithful to God in your life? It's a condition that your soul depends on. In the book of Colossians, Paul says, if you continue in your faith, if. You can become a Christian and be baptized, your sins be washed away, you be given the gift of the Spirit, and you can fall away from God. You have to progress in your faith if you continue in the faith. Whether you stay faithful to God or not is up to you. And David said, I'm going to be faithful. One of the best strategies for you to remember is when life is overwhelming and you don't know what to do, just be faithful to God. Be faithful to His Word. Be faithful to His will. Be faithful in prayer. Just show up and be with God's people. Worship Him. Be faithful. Many people, when they're pressured and they're overwhelmed, they go backwards, not forwards. They get further away from the church, not closer. We make a lot of mistakes sometimes when we go through the trials of life. And here David paints a picture. Go to God and walk in the right direction. Be faithful to Him. Honor Him. And He will honor you. And He says, give me mercy and truth. He can't do it by himself. He needs God's truth. He needs God's mercy. And you and I are the same way. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We're all sinners. We need God in our lives. And He's asking for God's mercy. The word there is hesed. God's covenant love. God's faithful love. And He says, His truth. And that truth also, is God's truth faithful? Yes. Is it reliable? Yes. That's what we put our weight on. God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and God's truth. It may seem simple, but that's where we have to plant our feet. And then He says, I will sing praises to Your name that I may perform my vows. I'm going to praise Your name, and I'm going to be faithful. That's the way He ends the song. It starts with a scream. It ends with a song. It starts with tragedy. It ends with triumph. That's what God wants for you. Are you in a storm right now? Are you overwhelmed by life? Turn it over to God. Let Him lead you to a rock that is higher than you. Shelter in the right place. In God. And be faithful to Him. And your suffering will turn into a song. When we go through sorrow, there's a song. A song that gives us the right perspective. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the foundation of our hope, Psalm 61, reveals to us the way to get there. Hope in the Lord. I have a friend that I know pretty well. I study with him a lot, and we've become friends. They were, earlier in their life, they were incarcerated for about a little over five years. And when they first went to prison, they found Psalm 61, the psalm we looked at this morning. And for those 5+ years they were in prison, every single day they read that psalm. They prayed with that psalm. Lord, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Help me find shelter in Your wings. They prayed that prayer. And they will say to this day, they enjoy not being in prison anymore, but they will say, the best years of my life were when I was there. Because I probably never would have turned around unless I was there. And through that time, I saw how God worked things out in my life while I was in prison, because I was surrendering to let Him lead me and let Him be my protection, and me doing my part and following His will. And it changed my life forever. I feel secure in my eternity because of that foundation in Him. It's pretty powerful when you think about it, isn't it? How would it change us if every day we woke up and we read this song. And we said, God, lead me to a place higher than I. I'll surrender whatever you need me to do. Lead me. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to be faithful to you. So the lesson's yours. A higher place. The right place. And be faithful to God. Do you want hope in the desert? When you are facing overwhelming times, you find it here. And maybe you're estranged from God because of sin. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. And you need to do that because there is no hope unless you follow God's plan for salvation. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And if you had that need this morning, we always invite you to come. But especially those of you who have obeyed the gospel, but you've drifted away. You're like the prodigal son who left home, who's in the pig pen. You're coming to your senses and you're realizing that you need God back in your life. Come home and make things right with Him. Because in the end, this psalm tells us nothing in life is more important than being right with God. There's no greater ambition than to be right with God. So the most important question in the world is not who am I going to marry, who am I going to work for, where am I going to live? It's how do I become a Christian and stay a Christian? That's the most important thing. Because if that's not right, Jesus said, what does it profit, man, if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul, as we stand and sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved us. chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains.
This is the time of our worship service that we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read to you a very familiar verse, but we need to listen very closely because of what it tells us and how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do during the Lord's Supper. It's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. Pray with me, please, for the bread. Our gracious Heavenly Father, bless this bread that represents Jesus' body that was sacrificed upon the cross. As we partake of it, Lord, help us to do so in a manner that is pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray with me for the cup. Again, Lord, we come to you and pray that you bless this cup that represents Jesus' blood that was shed upon the cross. Help us to partake of it in a way that's pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. Pray with me as we close. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. You left heaven to come down to earth to die a cruel death upon the cross so that we can get forgiveness of our sins and spend eternity with you in heaven. Amen.
Card from the pew or chairs in front of you. Fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it out. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass it in. Looks like they're going to be picked up by a couple of brothers here. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. Here all who suffered sword or flame, Lord.
If you're joining us online this morning, we want you to know how pleased we are that you've joined us. Before we conclude the online portion of the service, I'd like to remind everyone how important your contribution is. This congregation has been extremely generous, and we need to keep up our contribution so that we can continue with the plan of work that's been identified. There's a box in the foyer if you'd like to leave your contribution there. You can mail it in, or there's a slot in the window that you can leave it there. So bow with me now as we dismiss the online portion. Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for this day, for all the blessings that you've given us. Father, we're thankful to you for our homes, our families, our jobs, and means of support. Pray that you would continue to bless us and bless us spiritually and monetarily. Pray, Father, now that you would dismiss us from this service, forgive us of our sins, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.